podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 42. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, brothers?
All good things all the time.
Good to hear. Nate, you doing all right?
Yeah, having a good hangout.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're back on our regular night, Wednesday, so I'm not confused like I was last week.
We're all settled in, right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I know. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. No,
I can do this every night.
I could, too.
I say that all the time. Is it podcast recording night? Is it podcast recording night? And this morning, what did I say? It's podcast recording night.
Yeah, you did. You
fellers.
Did. It's always exciting, so we... It gives us something to look forward to. We can't do it every night. Maybe just every other night.
Yeah.
I have to tell you something funny. I'm going to make this a quick story before we get into all our other stuff. The Harrison and I last Sunday were taking a walk with Jude. Okay. And he actually wanted to come with me. I was like, are you in trouble? Is there something you need to talk about? We didn't talk. There was nothing major going on. He just wanted to spend time with me. Nice. So it was late. And we were going, you know, how we live close to the jail. And there were emergency vehicles over by the jail. And he's like, Dad, what's going on? And I was like, it looks like some kind of, you know, medical emergency probably. And he's like, you think there was like a breakout, you know? And I was like, no, there'd be sirens going off. And
helicopters.
He's like, what's that sound? And I'm like, I don't know. What are you talking about? And past it, there's woods. And then you go back in the trails. It's really dark over there at that time. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there was a noise. And I was like, I don't know what that noise is. I said, it's probably, well, this is what I did. I thought, this is exactly, I was like, okay, so what I've learned so far from the podcast, is could it be a Wendigo? No, it doesn't seem ferocious. You know, I don't hear gnashing of teeth. No, it's probably not a Wendigo. Is it Slender Man? No, Slender Man would be a lot quieter than that. You know, and I'm going down all these like different, you know, werewolf. Yes.
You wouldn't have thought about that.
Bigfoot. No, he probably shouldn't. Shouldn't be here right now. You know, but then he goes, I think it's a coyote. And I was like, you know, I think it is probably a coyote. That's what it said. It sounded like a coyote's.
Maybe it's a Wendigo coyote.
It could have been. So I was sitting there like, and I told him, I'm like, I got to stop doing this podcast.
Yeah. Now we're going to.
He's like, Dad, why'd you have to go to Wendigo?
No kidding. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, Bigfoot could be, Nate.
You know. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
We did start the whole, if it is something that dangerous, what do we do scenario?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We were joking, half joking.
You're going to have like a flip chart.
Okay, exactly.
If it's a Wendigo, do this. If it's Bigfoot, do this. Or don't do this or whatever.
No, that's easy.
Just
trip the person you're with and off running.
Yeah, yeah, but that's
sorry, kid.
That's my son.
Bye.
I know. Jude, here, take Jude too.
Oh,
not the dog, right?
Oh, can't do that.
Just stay inside is what we should have done.
Jude, they didn't mean it.
Just stay inside. That's the except for Michael Myers. That's the only.
That's right.
Foolproof.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody go anywhere. Just stay inside.
Stay inside.
So, Mr. Sean, you want to get to the announcements, sir?
I do. The first thing I want to mention is our merch. We have Mako merch of all kind, and we are in safely and securely, and we are settled in to the holiday season. So
we have some really neat stuff.
Oh, my gosh, we do. And we would love for everybody to represent.
Oh, absolutely.
And surprise each other with some Mako merch.
Yeah, and the lady that watched our kids for a number of years, she ordered a T-shirt. Which is going to be...
Thank you.
Yeah, delivered soon, so that was awesome.
We would also love ratings and reviews, and to subscribe or follow.
Shout
whatever,
out to Vicky, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Vicky. Thank you, Vicky. So it really does help our show. We say this over and over again. We're going to keep saying it. Help boost our numbers, help us. We want to keep doing this,
yes,
and that
please.
Will help us to do that. So
please, please, please.
We appreciate it ahead of time, right?
And another please.
Okay. Please. Five stars. That's all you can give, right?
That's right.
And
please.
What they said the last time.
Yeah, it's the only option.
It's the only five option.
Stars. That's right.
Do it. And one of the most important reasons we're here, besides having fun, sharing creepy stuff, is to really focus and highlight on the mental health and the community that we're building for this. So we always want to give out, always give out the substance abuse and mental health hotlines. The hotline first is 1-800-662-4357. The last four, and that's help. And the other hotline is the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line, which is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four, and that's talk.
Thank you, sir.
No
problem. Appreciate it.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Got to get those in. So I have a couple things before we get into the this episode topic. The Indie Live Show, as I want to mention, until July, is July 16th of 2022. And from 6 to 10 p.m., and tickets are on sale. So
awesome.
Just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com. It'll direct you to the link to order tickets.
Come and spend the evening with us, right?
Yeah, we'd love to meet
I'm
you guys.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be our first one. I know. I feel like big time.
Shouldn't our wives have? They've already bought tickets, right? So
mine hasn't.
Yeah, I don't think mine has either. She was like, I was telling her about it, and I was just assuming, and then I'm like, I wonder if she's going to show.
Elijah asked about it. I go, what's a live show? I said, Jerry Pauly. And he knows,
it's a live.
Jerry's name, and he's like, oh, okay. And like, what are we doing? I said, your dad and Sean and Nate are going to be
We'll be
on.
Juggling. It's yeah, a yeah, juggling yeah, contest.
Right. I'm going to be riding a unicycle.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes, oh, okay. You know,
Cirque du like, Soleil.
No, so, my wife would just be like, oh, that's nice. Go have fun.
Yeah.
She will be there, Nate.
Hey, at least he's out for the evening.
Exactly, yeah. I hear you. So, yeah, so that'd be fun. And then I have a story submitted by one of our social media followers and listeners.
Very cool.
Shamrock O'Malley. She sent this to me last week. And
that's
I felt
a great
bad.
Name, by the way.
I love that name. Maybe a week or two ago, and I forgot to read it on the last episode. Mm-hmm. I felt bad because I had intentions to do so, and I forgot to write it on the show flow notes, and there you go.
Well, we're doing it now.
My middle age mind.
We forgive you.
Thank you. She did
Shamrock
too. She showed a lot of grace, so
good.
I felt so bad. Okay, so this is really cool. Kind of goes along with the Christine Collier kind of story, you know, that we had on.
Shout out to Christine.
Yep. Here we go. Excuse me as I try to clear my throat. I've got it on Instagram. I'm just trying to find. I didn't screenshot it and crop it, so I'm just trying to see here where it starts. I apologize. I've done. Okay. Talking about made me think of some things. I've done that all my whole life. So she was talking about mini. Oh wow, mini number nine was Christine Collier. That's a long time.
Uh-huh.
Ago. That's why I was looking at going, wait a minute, is that right?
It feels like a long time ago.
So I'm just going to read So it says, hey, just listening to mini number nine and the foreknowledge thing y'all were talking about, I love that, made me think of some things. I've done that my whole life. I guessed gifts before they were opened without even meaning to. It just pop out. I also knew back in the days of landlines and wall phones, way before caller ID, who was calling before the phone would ring or, you know, or if she answered. I tell on people for things I'd never seen them do, but the biggest event wasn't even me. It was my daddy, and she says in parentheses, I'm a Southern woman, and my daddy will always be my daddy. I love that.
Oh, I love that too.
Says my grandma was talking to him on the phone the Monday before he died. Daddy had been initially given 6 months to live with pulmonary fibrosis, and this was nearly 2 years later. He was holding his own, but was slowly getting worse. Grandma was holding out hope for a lung transplant or an unknown treatment and was telling him my aunt and his sister, his sister was doing research on it. In the course of that conversation, Daddy told Grandma, Mama, I want you to stop hoping. I'll get better. It's not going to happen. I'm going to die from this. It's going to kill me unless I have a heart attack and die. I don't want to smother to death. I just hope I have a heart attack and die. Says, my daddy didn't have a cholesterol problem and his blood pressure before the steady doses of steroids to treat his lungs had never been out of control. He was on meds for it and stayed in the normal range. He did have diabetes and has just been diagnosed with congenital heart failure due to the PF. On Wednesday, October 28th, 2009, 2 days after telling his mama he just wanted to have a heart attack and die, my daddy ate a big old Southern breakfast and told my mama, Mama Sue, he called her that for years, that's the best breakfast I've ever had. Mm. She thanked him and told him she'd clear his dishes after she got back from the bathroom. While in there, she said she heard him grunt or groan really loud, then heard a crash. She ran out there, and my daddy was laying face down on his hospital bed in the living room. She called 911, and when all when all was said and done, daddy got his wish. He had a massive heart attack and died. I don't think Daddy foresaw or had a vision of himself having a heart attack, and I didn't know about this conversation until after he had died, so I didn't get to ask questions, but I do think it wasn't something that was just coincidence that he said that, you know, 2 days later after the best breakfast he'd ever had, he left this world just like he hoped. I don't know if this really has anything to do with Mini Number 9, but Christine's stories made me think about him, which I do every day anyway, and that conversation he had with his mama.
Oh. That's really cool, Shamrock. That
yeah,
and I guarantee you, Christine's going to be like, that's, you know, just we've talked about that too, where we talk about something and then something else comes up and it springboards into another conversation. So it's just beautiful, and we all, you know, we have so many experiences out there, and that's why it's so beautiful and wonderful to hear them.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just, well, and I read it when she first sent it to me, and it felt heavy, and then I'm trying to read it to the listener,
and got
I
a little choked up there.
Yeah, I was like, because I knew what it was, and I'm thinking about my dad.
Yeah, I
get into
heart
attack.
What you're doing,
but I was like, oh man, it's yeah. So anyway.
It's interesting.
So I hope I did it justice.
I can't say that I have forethought into a lot. It's not happened tons in my life, but I had it with two of my grandparents. My grandfather, before he passed, I was 15, and it was my birthday. Mm. We'd spent the day together. We had steaks. We put up a volleyball net. We had a wonderful time. He was supposed to get his carotids cleaned out, and he really didn't want to go do that. He was almost 76, and Flag Day is in between our birthdays. And so I'm the 13th. There's the 14th, and then there's the 15th. But it's his birthday. He would have turned 76, and he passed away that night. He got up and went to, my grandmother heard him go to the bathroom and all this. They slept in separate bedrooms and she didn't think much of it. And she got up the next morning. Normally he would get up and fix the coffee and be up first and whatever, but she thought, oh, he's just sleeping in. So she had the coffee cups ready to go and all this stuff. And he didn't get up that morning. And I remember, I had spent the night at their house on that Monday, my birthday actually. And he had, before he came into my room and wished me a happy birthday, I heard a voice that said, enjoy your grandfather. He won't live to see the end of the week. Mm. And I thought, I'm just, you know, I was a kid. I was a teenager. I just kind of thought, that's what, you know. Yeah. And he came into my door and he said, hey, aren't you 22 or 29 this today? You know, he was trying. And I was like, nah, grandpa, I'm 15, you know. And so I remember that very vividly. And so next morning, we got a call from my grandmother, and she was frantic. And my brother and dad raced over there. And my mom said, oh, it's okay. I'm sure everything's fine. They probably just had a fight or something. And I said, yeah. And I remember sitting there playing. I was playing Super Nintendo. I can remember very vividly. And I remember thinking, he's gone. And I was, she said, how did you know he was gone? And I said, I just knew. And because this voice had told me. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, not his wife, but my mom's mom, died 8 months. Yeah, it was 8 months later. She passed away. And it was the same thing. We went to see her in the hospital. It was a little more evident that she was going to pass at some point. They told us within the next couple of weeks. And the night my mom and I went to go see her and we were leaving, I didn't say anything to my mom because I didn't want to upset her, but I wanted to go spend more time with her because I knew that was the last time I was going to see her, and she passed away that night.
Oh man.
So it was those feelings of like, you just want to ignore them. Mm-hmm. But so I completely understand what she's saying. It's just really weird, but I've taken those with me throughout my life and thinking, why did I have that?
Yeah.
It was, everybody said, oh, you handled it so well. You were grieving so well. And maybe that was part of it, but that I started early, you know, with both of those instances, but it's interesting
So thank you, Shamrock O'Malley.
Yeah.
That was very
nice.
Thank
you so much. That's awesome.
Like I said, I was kind of like, oh, man.
I did. Yeah. That was a very touching story.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And again, any listeners have any stories like that or experiences, don't hesitate.
Christine got Shamrock to get some out, and Shamrock, you got me to get some out. So that's really cool.
That's how we affect each other. Man, we're in our 20s now.
We're speeding along here, right? But it's amazing how we impact people.
So that's all I had.
Yay. So we're going to be getting into the meat of this episode.
Absolutely.
Which is really exciting. We're so excited for you to hear this too. And this is another guest chat. We love our guest chats. And this one is with Mike Brown. He is a podcaster and a Charleston ghost tour guide. And so enjoy this episode.
Hey guys, we have a very special guest on the episode for tonight. We have Mr. Mike Brown. And he is a podcaster. The name of his podcast is Pleasing Terrors. And he is also the owner of the Old Charleston Walking Tours. Mr. Brown, how are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming on. I'll let Nate and Sean greet you.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Nate and Sean.
So yeah, we're excited that you're on our episode tonight. So needless to say,
we're all along for the ride, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. So Mike, just I guess we'll just get started. How did you get into the paranormal? And I guess how did you when did you start liking and enjoying this type of stuff?
Well, I initially was mostly a history buff, going back about 25 years. Right after high school, I went in the Navy, and while I was in the Navy, I had a lot of reading time when we'd be out at sea, and found that I enjoyed history more than anything else. And when I came back to Charleston, I became a tour guide, which is a fun way to have a history-related job, mm-hmm. and I enjoy talking about the city's history. And I would do a lot of research for different things that I could talk about on the ghost tour, and every once in a while I would come across something sort of unexplained or creepy or mysterious, and especially within the city's folklore, which is sort of the unrecorded history, the unverified history. And it's kind of like the X-Files of history. And that was what really got my interest. And I gravitated more towards the ghost tours, which tend to include a lot of the folklore.
Sure.
And eventually, I got more interested in the idea of a podcast, because it allowed me to talk about things outside of Charleston or things in Charleston that didn't fit within the confines of a tour.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, are you from Charleston or... originally?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Born and raised there.
Okay, awesome. That's so you're all cool. Down.
I wanted to tell you thank you for your service. You said you're in the Navy. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh,
so
sure.
we always appreciate that.
Heck yeah. Yeah, you guys are the heroes.
I also appreciate that you're a history buff. That also is like awesome to me. That makes me smile.
Sean's literally smiling.
I am no expert on history, but I love history, and yeah. I love the like you're talking about, the folklore, but also just the stories. My son tells me history is so boring, and I'm like, no, it's not. There's so many good stories that people don't get told. And so he was telling me he has now this year he has a professor, or well, that's not a professor, it's a teacher. They don't call that till college, but a teacher that actually tells some of those backstories. And he's like, Dad, I'm liking history. I'm like, yes, this is perfect.
Yeah, that's where it gets interesting. When it's just sort of the recitation of dates and places and things like that, it can be really dry.
So much
but
more to it.
There's certainly no reason that it needs to be.
What is it they always say? If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's true. That's real true. So, yeah, so born and raised in Charleston, that's awesome. So, and like I said, you did the podcast so you could talk about stories and things outside of Charleston. And it is one of my favorite podcasts out there, and I was bragging about it, you know, to Sean and Nate, and early on in our podcast journey, and it's still I'll go through them and just because I haven't listened to them for a while, and I'll just go through them, and like I said, we were talking before we started recording. I love Mike's voice. He's got the best recording voice,
really
podcast voice, whatever you want to say. I'm like, my gosh, yeah, I'm serious.
We're going to keep gushing on you too, Mike, but it's funny because I would say that Todd gets, when he talks about you and your podcast, giddy is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah. And told Jerry Paul, I said, hey, we're having a Mike Brown on. He's like, oh, what a great guy. So he was raving about you too. So you got a lot of fans out there, Mike.
We want to, honestly, and this is serious, I have never been to Charleston, but so many people, when my wife and I, we went to Myrtle Beach many years ago, and somebody, when we were there, they said, if you didn't have we have four kids. And at that time we had two, I guess, but they said, if you didn't have kids with you, you should go down to Charleston. It's a very romantic and historic city, and you and your wife would have a great time. So we've always said sometime we need to make it there. And I have a friend I used to work with, a girl, her and her husband retired out there, and they keep inviting us. They're like, hey, anytime you want
to
come out there, it's a beautiful, she sends pictures. She's like, it's beautiful out here.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's worth the trip.
Absolutely.
So we want to come out and we want a ghost tour.
It was 2017 or 2018. My family and I, we did the Myrtle Beach vacation 2 years in a row. And, it was one of those years that, you know, you and I, were messaging back and forth and I wanted to take a tour so bad. You said, yeah, come on, you know, let me know and come on out. But we just never got around to it. We had other things, and I'm still bummed about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wanted to take a tour so bad of, you know, the one that you gave. So
in this podcast, we have started setting up field trips. We have a list, and we actually have started to do them. So this is one that we can actually do.
Yeah, yeah. And we only want Mike.
Exactly right. Yeah.
How many? I'm curious. How many tours are there in Charleston? Because we did a Georgia vacation this past summer, and we went to Savannah twice, and one was a ghost tour at night. And man, we ran into 9 or 10 different tours, and I don't know how many they have. So how many do you guys have in Charleston? I would figure a lot.
Well, there are probably a dozen or more ghost tour companies, and some of them are quite large, with, you know, many tour guides, and then some of them, like me, are just a one-person operation. So there's quite a few.
Okay, yeah, I figure just, you know, a town like that or a city, like, you know, all the history and the mm-hmm. and the cool spots. Yeah, I would imagine you had a lot. But yeah, Savannah was awesome. I want to go back there and spend a little more time, you know. But we stayed on Tybee Island. That was the bulk of our vacation. But yeah, Charleston's definitely a place we'd love to visit. So I'm going to get into the creepy stuff. Do you have, so like whether it's on your tour or I don't know if you, like, as far as like if you do investigations, what's some of the stories that you can share with our listeners, you know, some of the creepy things you ran into or, you know, any experiences you've had?
Well, on the tour itself, there is a certain location where something tends to happen on a pretty regular basis. There's a gateway that we visit on King Street here in Charleston, which actually it's a gate that leads into an alley that leads to a graveyard. Oh. And the graveyard is magnificent. It's walled in. It's very overgrown. It looks like a place no one has visited in many, many years.
That's awesome.
And it has an interesting connection in Charleston folklore to Edgar Allan Poe. Because the graveyard is thought to be the resting place of a romantic partner of his from his younger years. In 1828, Edgar Allan Poe was stationed in Charleston in the Army, though he was here under an assumed name because he was kind of hiding out while he was in the Army. And he was called Edgar Perry, and he became romantically involved with a young woman here in Charleston from a prominent family who did not approve of the relationship. And unfortunately, she died in a yellow fever epidemic and was buried in this graveyard. It's called the Unitarian Church Graveyard. And so the folklore in Charleston is that was the basis for his poem Annabel Lee, which was his final complete poem before he died.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The creepy part to that is this gate. And the interesting thing is that, at least from what I've observed, the activity is not so much in the graveyard itself, but at this gate, which enters into it. Because since 2013, I've had over 40 people pass out in front of the gate.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
On the ghost tour while I was telling the story. 12 of them this year alone.
Oh, wow. It's
kind of I've almost wondered if I should stop going there altogether.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It happens so much.
Put a disclaimer, right?
You might pass out.
Well, you don't want to lead anybody
I
that way. But
before we go over there.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Gosh, that is wild.
Sign this waiver, please.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's intense.
Mike Brown is not responsible for any head injuries.
That's intense. How old is the graveyard? I'm just curious.
Well, it was consecrated in 1788, so I would imagine the oldest graves probably would date back to somewhere around there.
Gosh.
The tombstones themselves, I doubt very many have survived from that far back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Huh. Yeah, that's a long time. That is a long way back. So, what? Yeah, that's a good one. What other?
Without a doubt, the creepiest place in Charleston is the Old City Jail, which is not a place that I visit on the tour, but it is a place that I talk about on the tour.
Oh, okay. And that's the one that you stayed there, correct?
Yes.
Like an overnight?
February of 2017, I was the jail. It was built in 1802. It's this Gothic looking building. It has a horrific history. They estimate from 1802 to 1938, when it finally closed, that somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 people died within the building from one cause or another.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It it was it just has a really dark history. Mm-hmm. And in February 2017, I was the first person to ever spend the night alone inside the jail, which was a very scary experience. It's a well-known haunted place. It's been on most of the ghost shows on TV.
Gotcha.
But being alone in there was a very intense experience.
Oh, I bet. What made you decide to do it by yourself? Like, nobody wanted to do it with you, or did you just like, hey, I want to do it by myself. I want to experience it, see what what happens or doesn't happen. Man, that'd be intense.
Yeah, I actually didn't intend to stay alone. I assumed that someone would stay with me, but everyone else refused.
Everybody
came backed out.
Poofs
you're like,
of smoke.
Okay, here we go. By myself.
Poof, 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 poof.
Good
poof,
luck.
Poof.
See ya.
See ya, Mike.
And I wasn't worried about it up until that point, and then I started to second guess myself.
Sure,
I bet.
Making a mistake here, but it was too late to back out by that time.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be. Yeah, there's a lot of places I would go and I would spend the night, but not sure by myself. That one.
We always talk about that, and Todd's always like, "Yeah, I do that," and then he's like,
yeah.
"Maybe I would, and maybe I wouldn't."
Yeah.
When it comes down to it.
Yeah, that.
Well, and not only that, man, but the night that because they give at the time they were giving haunted jail tours in the building, which would typically run up until about midnight, and so I was there that night for the last of their haunted tours before they closed and left me alone. And just maybe 15, 20 minutes before they left me alone, there's a thing that's been known to happen in the jail from time to time where people would get attacked. And it would generally take the form of them getting scratched.
Ooh.
Three parallel scratch marks.
Okay.
And so that night, about 15 or 20 minutes before everyone left and I was there by myself, I was standing on the ground floor of the jail with a small group of people. One of them was a teenage girl, and it was February, so everybody was dressed pretty warmly, wearing jeans and things like that. And this girl in the group just all of a sudden grabs her leg and starts screaming. And her mother pulls her into another room, and then a few minutes later comes back. And she had taken pictures with her phone, and the girl had three parallel scratch marks down the inside of her leg.
Ooh, that's wild.
Wow.
And then right after that, everybody said goodnight, and then I was by myself.
Oh, man. That's
you on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Man.
That is intense.
Yeah. So it was a long night.
So, yeah, with all that you said, 10,000 people have, reportedly have died in that jail. You're going to have some nasty
heavy,
stuff.
Heavy, dark energies, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they say in, like, insane asylums and jails, we've heard that in the past, that those can be some of the darkest places to stay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, gosh, I mean, yeah, it's like a red badge of courage, right, to be able to stay in a place like that.
Yeah, that's...
Well, and that one of the things that prompted me to think about spending the night there for the podcast was I don't consider myself to be a particularly sensitive person, but... I'd taken a tour of the jail, and in the course of the tour, we went into one of the rooms, and I could feel, something there. It was when you step into the room, it's like the pressure changes.
Right.
And you can just feel this weight. And at the time, I was just like, whoa. And that was what really got me sort of started with me. It would make an interesting podcast episode to spend the night here and sort of record my experiences.
That was one of my questions for you, Mike, was do you consider yourself empathic or being able to feel energies or so that's interesting that if you're saying not normally, but you feel it in that kind of a place, that's what we were talking about. You kind of were open to that. I mean, I like to think that I feel people's emotions pretty well, but it's like I don't know what it's like to feel an energy and think, man, this feels
there's
a heavy,
yeah.
So that to me is interesting because you're coming from more of a you enjoy the history. There's more of a kind of I want to experience what I can experience, but I'm sure there's some like skepticism. But if you feel that, that's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come from.
Yeah, and I think there are certain places that are just like so strong that even if you're someone like me who's not what I would call a sensitive, you can still feel it. And that's the jail is definitely one of those places.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that episode. Was it a two-parter, Mike?
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's oh my gosh, that was very intense, like I told you. That one really scared me. Like I said, I don't get scared listening to episodes. That one, that one was it though. That was one of them. Like, whoa, well, see, this, because you know the whole thing about the history, and you're by yourself, and just the way you are, you're just telling what's going on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like I was there. You know, you did such a great job of, you know, telling the listener like what is going on and what your experience, painting the picture. I'm like, gosh darn, there's
It was definitely definitely an atmospheric night. You know, there was a thunderstorm while I was in there. So lightning and thunder outside, and then me alone inside. And it, at times during the night, you know, I could hear voices. I could hear doors opening and closing. I could hear footsteps. I didn't have much of the way. I don't really have any ghost hunting equipment. I had a video camera with me, and I would set that up in a particular room, for example, upstairs, and then I would go downstairs. And it, the only, it was interesting because I noticed when I would later watch the videotape, for example, that on the video there would be these loud bangs that I could hear on the video. And the acoustics of the jail are such, especially if you're in there alone, that if there's a really loud noise, you would hear it.
You're going to hear it.
Regardless of which floor you were on.
Right.
And so that there were loud noises recorded on the video that I didn't hear when I was there. You know, with my own ears.
Sure.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was my next question. I was going to see if you had any special equipment or, you know, what you used. So you said
just my phone and a video camera, pretty much.
Okay.
They say the best tool that you can have is your, is the body, the human body, and what you pick up, you know. And obviously with, you know, any kind of camera or audio equipment that you can pick up stuff like that too, I think is obviously very helpful. I think for me, I'm somebody that I do believe. I believe there's a spirit world. I believe that that a lot of people's experiences are true and real. And for me, I think, you know, I don't want to be that person that's always like, oh my gosh, I heard something. Oh, I saw something. This is something, you know, I really want to kind of like, okay, what did I just experience and try to figure it out? But I know that there are sometimes where like, you just can't. And that's the, that's, there's a fun of it too. But it's also like, do you really want to experience it? Because when you've, Mike, when you've experienced some of these hard, you know, dark and heavy energies, it's pretty creepy, pretty spooky out there. You know, like some people, they think they want to experience it, and then they're like, ooh, that might have been a little more reality than I was bargaining for.
Well, yeah, that, for example, one of the things that you see a lot of people do on the TV shows or just in regular ghost hunting is they'll use a tape recorder to get EVPs.
Right.
And I thought about that, but I didn't do it because I thought if I start talking and asking questions out loud and I record a voice answering me, I don't think I'm going to make it through.
that's a really good point.
I think I'm not going to do that.
I think I'd be right there.
Yeah. Why set yourself up for that? You're already by yourself. It's thundering lightning.
We all went and traveled. It's been a few weeks back now to Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana. And there was, we were with a ghost hunter, Erin Ignatz, and she had a little device that was picking up, it's like a little miniature spirit box, right? And what, I forget what she called it, but it said, she asked what kind of spirits there were. It sounded like, it had said there was like 100, and then it said demonic. And I was like, did anybody else just hear demonic? Because that, I might be out for the night.
Careful what you ask.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I did, believe it or not, spending the night alone in the jail was not the dumbest thing I've done with regard to the jail.
Oh, man.
I want to hear it.
I think I was a little overconfident after getting through the whole night there by myself, because I later did another episode where I went back inside again with two listeners. This was in April of 2018. And we took a Ouija board in there.
Oh, my.
And that turned out to be a really bad idea.
Yeah, I can only imagine on that one.
Yeah, there were two listeners to the podcast named James and Jordan who came to Charleston, and they were asking me if I would be interested in using a Ouija board inside the jail. And again, I just had that same sort of calculation. Oh, that would make a good idea or a good episode for the podcast.
On the surface,
it's so worth it.
Sounds like a fun night, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't have a Ouija board with them. I had found this really creepy looking Ouija board, handmade Ouija board on eBay, And I just bought it because it was creepy looking. I never actually intended to use it. But I said, okay, well, I have the Ouija board. We'll use mine. And we decided to do it. And I'd never used a Ouija board before. So I had to do a little research first. And what I found was that it turns out that if you're going to use the Ouija board, the most important thing you have to know is how to close it.
Ooh. Yes.
So if you're talking with something and you want to stop, you don't just stop, because supposedly that leaves the connection open. So you're supposed to say goodbye and then pull the planchette or the pointer to the word goodbye. And that's supposed to sever the connection. And that's particularly important if whatever you're talking to becomes angry or hostile. You're supposed to close the board right away. And one of the things that I saw was that if the pointer goes to the end of the numbers or the end of the letters and starts going backwards, you're supposed to immediately close the board, because that might mean that something is trying to use the board to attach itself to someone there. Mm.
Oh, wow.
And so I read through all of that, and we headed into the jail that night, and we decided to go all the way and find the creepiest room in the jail to do it, you know, sort of the ground zero. And that turned out to be a room that when I spent the night there, I didn't even realize existed, because it was a room that the people who give tours in the jail didn't go in. They didn't talk about it. They stayed away from it. They kept the door closed, and they called it the creepy door room. They just completely left it alone. So we went in that room to use the Ouija board. And there was the couple, James and Jordan, were using the board, and I was Facebook Living it. So there's actually videos of this in the Facebook group for the podcast.
Yeah.
But James started asking, you know, is there anyone there? Is there anyone that wants to talk to us? And the pointer moves to the word yes. And then he asks, are you alone? And the pointer moves to the word no. And then he asks, what do you want? And it's spelled out the word free. And at that point, James started complaining that he felt nauseous and sick. And so they closed the board, and we took a break and went outside the jail for half an hour. And then we came back in, and James still wasn't feeling very well. So his girlfriend, Jordan, was doing the talking at that point, though James was still at the board. And she started asking him the same questions, and the pointer is just going all over the place. It's not really making any sense, until finally it spelled out a word. And the word that it spelled out was James. And at that point, he started kind of freaking out and said, I want to quit.
That's nice.
And the pointer goes to the word no, and then it goes to the letter Z and starts going backwards through the alphabet. And at that point, they closed the board.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So
that was kind of a dark moment.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Inside the jail.
Whoa.
That is really scary.
And you said that room you had no idea about until that night. Oh, man.
No.
That's, yeah.
And then a week after that, I drove to Louisville, Kentucky to do a live show with History Goes Bump and with Jerry with the Hillbilly Horror Stories. Mm. And I took the Ouija board with me and kind of chattered on a stand, told people the story. And then the next day coming back, I was in this really bad car accident. Maybe a coincidence. It didn't feel like a coincidence to me. So I've not touched Ouija boards or been back to the jail since then.
I was going to say, Todd, he looks sold over there to me. When you're telling that story, he's like, I want to try that.
Yeah. Not really.
Nope.
And I've been about 50-50 on the Ouija boards. But and Mike, I knew about your awful accident, but I had no idea that it could be correlated with the Ouija board.
Ouija board has to go.
anyone hearing that story have to decide for themselves.
Sure, sure,
but to
sure.
Me, it right. felt like it was connected.
Yeah, absolutely. That. Oh man. So I was going to ask you about the Old City Jail. Are there certain entities that are in certain rooms or areas? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you know? Or is it just kind of all over the place? Or hey, this character? Because like Waverly Hills, you know, there's the shadow figure or whatever,
when you take the tour, they've sort of have it mapped out to where they talk about this entity in this part of the jail or that one
okay.
in that particular room. But I don't know that you can necessarily sort of segregate the ghost like that.
Gotcha.
I think it, you know, that certainly in terms of photographs and things like that, because the most famous person to haunt the jail is supposed to be a woman by the name of Lavinia Fisher, who's sort of famous is being thought of as possibly being a serial killer.
Oh.
And she's sort of the classic woman in a white dress. And there are photographs, which I show on the tour, where you get pictures of a woman in a white dress, you know, on the mm-hmm. upper floors of the building and on the ground floor of the building. So I think that the ghost may roam through the building.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I just know certain places that, you know, like, well, this whatever entity haunts this room or this area.
Or
you go down this hallway and this is the area of whatever. So I didn't know if the jail had that or just kind of it's all over the place, you know. That's, man.
It could be both. Both could be true.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did they close it, Mike? Why did they close that?
Well, it was, believe it or not, right now they're in the process of converting it into an office building.
Oh, wow. Oh,
of course they are.
That should be interesting.
Well, that makes sense. Let's just make this
just
place into an
office
building.
Don't bring your Ouija boards to work.
Really?
Yeah, that is weird. I don't know who would want to work there. I wouldn't, but
yeah, no.
But yeah, that's the plan.
Weird. That'd be the last thing I would think.
Slumber
that they
party?
Would,
ugh, no.
An office building.
Unfortunately, there is a sort of reality that buildings like that face, whether it's an old jail, an old asylum, an old hospital, where they reach a point in their life cycle where they have to be able to generate enough money to sustain themselves in terms of repairs and renovations. And so, you know, the jail, I guess, it sort of has to evolve into something other than an empty jail in order to survive. Otherwise, it's going to end getting torn down at some point.
It's kind of like we have a state hospital that's west side of Indianapolis, and we've talked about that, and a lot of it's been torn down. It's been turned into apartment buildings and office buildings as well, so kind of understand that.
I own a commercial cleaning business, Mike, and my newest client, I don't know, I think it was in August, it's the old Central State Hospital here on the west side of Indy. And
History.
Yeah. We did one of our many episodes on it, and it's creepy. So the building I clean is used to be the old laundry facility, and it's 1895 or 1890, something like that. All the buildings are really old, but there's one building that's used. Trying to think what it was back in the day, but it's used now for an event center. So I mean, I'll go there on a Saturday, afternoon or a Saturday night, and there's always some type of wedding reception or a banquet for some reason. You know, it's really cool how they use these old buildings. Yeah, like you said, or they're just going to get torn down probably, you know, so they got to use them for something. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. So on your tour, the tour that you give, what other areas or what other, as far as like stories that you can tell us, any special places, I guess?
Well, the area of the city where ghost tours tend to operate in Charleston, it tends to circle around what we call the French Quarter, which is one of the oldest parts of the city. And there are a number of interesting places there. There are several haunted graveyards. There's a building, the courthouse, which was the inspiration for the White House. In terms of its architecture, is there. In terms of the stories, one of my favorite places, I think, is there's a place called Philadelphia Alley, which has the nickname Bloody Alley.
Ooh.
And is thought to have once been a place where duels were fought back in the late 1700s. Mm. And that is a place that has a lot of history and sort of haunted anecdotes attached to it.
Yeah, I bet.
Hmm.
Bloody Alley. That's a good name.
Can you imagine? Like, think about that. Back then, it was like, you know, the, there's chivalry, and then there's the idea of being manly and tough, and you beat your opponents. And
yeah,
these were. And nowadays, we tend to run from fights sometimes.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if we went back to the duel? You know, let's just go back to the duels. Let's just, you know.
Yeah.
We can find a Bloody Alley here, you know.
Oh, man.
Gosh, it seems like it's not that long ago. America's history is not that old in the scheme of, like,
right,
you know, history, but it's amazing the way that things have changed over the years, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and an alley is, at least in Charleston, is not the strangest place that a duel is fought. I've come across accounts of, you know, somebody going to a party at someone's house and they get into it with somebody there, which is abnormal occurrence.
That's wild.
And then they end up going to a bedroom upstairs and fighting a duel in the upstairs bedroom.
What the heck? Yeah. There's got to be alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Two neighbors that live across the street from each other that don't like each other, and which again is a perfectly normal occurrence, and end up fighting a duel with each guy standing in a second floor window of his house shooting across the street at each other.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Wow.
No wonder people didn't live very long back then. No. Yeah. Forget the disease and pestilence. It was the duels.
Yeah, right. Shooting each other.
That's wild.
That is intense. Yeah.
I always tease about, like, we are the result of all the strongest and the, you know, all the genetics and the DNA of the, you know, the strongest generations. But we're also the people, you know, we're the result of the people that survived war and pestilence, but also stupidity. You know, like, really, you know, like, we're here because our ancestors were able to figure out how to maneuver over some of the craziness.
Yeah.
Or just got lucky.
They're just less stupid.
some of them were lucky, let's be honest.
Yeah, managed to say, maybe I won't fight a doodle.
Exactly. Right. Manifest destiny, maybe a little bit, maybe a little luck.
Why do we have to shoot each other? Can't we just box?
Yeah. We still get the point across. I win, you lose now.
We've evolved dish. Yeah.
That's how they did it, though, back then. Yeah, I know. How long have you been doing the ghost tour, Mike?
Right. That was my question.
I've been giving ghost tours for 24 years.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
And do you love it as much as you ever have? Is it something that you just, like, when you find something that you really enjoy, like, do you just love it as much as ever? Or?
I really enjoy it, but it kind of depends on the group.
I see. Yeah.
I've always said that giving tours is in some ways, it's kind of like maybe doing stand-up comedy.
Like a performance,
It depends on your audience. You know, sometimes it's great, and sometimes you totally bomb. Mm. And you just never know until you get the group in front of you, which it's going to be.
That makes sense, yeah.
Well, you need the bombs. That way you know the good ones from those.
Yeah,
and that you're doing something, like, good.
Let's not do that one again. Yeah, but you're right. Well, what you're saying too is if you have people that are receptive, because I guarantee there are people that are skeptical and want to just make you look stupid or ask, you know, like, question everything you say, or, you know, that probably gets annoying
and
too.
And I always tell people skeptical. You don't have to believe in ghosts to enjoy a ghost story.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's my wife and I. We took a ghost tour in Nashville earlier during spring break this year, and she said that she's not big on the ghost stuff. She gets creeped out. She doesn't like scary movies. She's actually becoming a little more into it. It was her idea to do this. She's like, what if we go down to Nashville, just you and I, and we do a ghost tour? It's a part of the, you know, things we do. And I'm like, that would be amazing. Are you sure? And after we did it, she said, that was basically like a history lesson. I'm like, exactly. It's a really cool history, mm-hmm. way to teach mm-hmm. history, because it's part of it.
It's what ghost stories are.
And the folklore and the myths and all that. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife's not a big fan of ghosts either. In fact, I got in trouble a few years ago because we went to Savannah. And I neglected to mention that we were staying in a haunted inn.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
It was called the Kehoe House. So it's this big, big mansion.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we may have been the only ones there. There may have been someone else there, but it seemed like it was pretty empty. And it had some pretty creepy stories. I think there was something involving twins that had crawled up in a chimney and gotten stuck and died. So it had a very sort of Shining vibe to it in terms of the ghost stories.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention any of that. And then we went on a ghost tour, and the ghost tour guide kept talking about it. So my wife didn't get much sleep that night.
That's
so
great.
I no longer get to choose where we stay. Oh,
or she does a little more research before you go.
Yeah, right. She doesn't trust you.
Now, Mike.
You're like, no, honey, that's not haunted. Sure.
Mike, do you have any places? I know you said the podcast allows you, and some of the content is amazing. It allows you that ability to talk about some of the other things outside of Charleston and outside of the East Coast. And what are some of your places that either your favorite places you've been or places that you still want to go or would like to go?
Well, my favorite place that I've been, without a doubt, is Salem, Massachusetts.
Ooh.
And I had the sort of the rare privilege when I went there of being escorted around, given a sort of a tour of some of the witchcraft locations.
Yeah.
By a fellow podcaster named Allison Horrocks, who hosts a podcast called The Strange and Unusual Podcast. And she's actually a descendant of someone who was executed in the Salem witch trials.
Oh, wow.
So and she was able to show me places that I never would have found on my own,
right.
Sort of off the beaten path places that you might not normally find. You know, for example, in the original house where the first girls, you know, had their I don't know what you'd call it, episode after they were trying to use egg yolk and a glass of water to tell their future, which was sort of the genesis of what became the Salem witch trials. Mm. And I never would have found the location of that house on my own, I don't think. So that was really neat. So that's Salem. Salem was one of my favorite places that I've been. My top of my wish list for places that I want to go is probably the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California.
Yeah,
yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we just did a mini episode on that. Did we?
We're going to.
No, we're
that's
going
one.
To.
We're going to do an episode on that.
That's right.
That is fast. The history behind that is fascinating, yeah. And they're talking about folklore there and the superstition, you know, of Mrs. Winchester or Ms. Winchester.
Yeah. that house, we just watched that movie, my wife and I, a week or two ago. And, you know, she had no idea about it, never heard about it. And I was telling her, you know, a little bit about the history of it. And she gets annoyed with me sometimes. She's like, just let me watch the movie. But, yeah, that place is crazy. That just 24 hours a day, just nonstop construction, just cause she just wanted to keep building and building. So it's beautiful though. I heard it.
And then sometimes there are places that I've kind of stumbled on by accident, mm-hmm. Just completely, you know, without any intention on my part. A number of years ago, my wife and I went to a concert in Duluth, Georgia, and we were staying in just some random motel. And the day after the concert, we were getting ready to leave, and we noticed that there was this huge mall right next to the motel where we were staying. It's called the Gwinnett Place Mall. And we decided, hey, let's go walk around the mall for a few minutes before we drive home. And we were it was a dead mall. So the mall itself was open, but all the stores inside were closed. Mm. And the longer we walk through this mall, we both start just getting this really creepy feeling. And it was more than just the fact that it was empty. My wife said it felt like something bad was getting ready to happen. Mm. And it was one of the few times that I've had a feeling like that, that where I wasn't someplace like the jail. And it was strange because it was in such a mundane setting, and we're just walking through the mall, and it's just feeling just gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, we're both just like, let's get out of here. This just feels wrong.
Too heavy. Yeah.
And I was so curious about it that later that day, I Googled it, and it turned out a month before we were there that the police had found the body of a murdered college student in the abandoned food court of that mall.
Oh, no. Oh,
wow.
Hmm. And her boyfriend had murdered her and hid her body in the back of an empty Subway restaurant.
Oh, gosh.
In the food court. And that same mall and that same food court were later used in season 3 of Stranger Things.
Okay.
Wow.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Okay. Huh. That's, yeah. Good thing you guys got out of there.
Yeah.
When you feel that, it's like, yeah, don't take any chances. Is your wife by chance? I know you said she doesn't really like the ghost thing and all that, but is she possibly, you know, someone that can, you know, maybe a sensitive, I don't know. That, you know?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that she's ever told me anyway.
She's not gonna admit it, Mike. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm like, oh gosh. Good thing let's get out of here, because she felt something, and then you kept feeling it, and when you said, like you said, it just kept getting worse and worse. You're like, okay.
she was going to keep it from you, but she has an underground podcast that she's right. actually competing directly with yours.
Yeah, right. Oh,
gosh. And your ghost tour. No.
Man, that is wild though. That's
it is.
That's
I got the chills from that. I know.
Wow. Your body's.
I don't consider myself to be particularly sensitive, but sometimes I think it's just a question of being in the right place at the right time.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say that like your body is a pretty good antenna, and sometimes you have to just listen to those feelings, because usually your body's not wrong.
Yep.
Just that whole gut instinct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My wife does it all the time. She's like, I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So yeah, you start getting flaky feelings, it there's probably a reason.
Yeah good point. Where'd you say that was at, Mike? Gwinnett?
That was in it was Gwinnett Mall. I'm not sure if that's in Duluth proper, or but it's somewhere thereabouts.
Gotcha. And that was in Stranger, yeah, because we're Stranger Things fans, and that's awesome. That's a neat piece of history, neat little tidbit. As far as your podcast, what are some of the your favorite episodes that you've done? Like I told you before we started recording, I love the old city jail, and then the one the house that's in Georgia, that the two gentlemen were murdered.
That was another really creepy place.
What is it? And Mike, remind me. I can't think of the name of the place, the manor.
It was called Corpsewood Manor.
Corpsewood, yes.
Which sounds like something out of an old, horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that whole story
was the short version of the story. I don't recall the exact year. It was the late 60s, early 70s, somewhere in there. There was two guys. One of them was a college professor in Chicago, who may or may not, depending on what you read, have been involved in mind control experiments with the CIA.
Wow. Yeah.
But he was married, had a family, and then I guess realized or decided to come out that he was gay, and he left the family, and he, along with his friend, sort of his servant, a manservant, I guess, moved to, of all places, rural North Georgia. It's a town called Somerville, Georgia. It's up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And they bought a piece of land on top of this mountain and hand-built a small castle. And they also were out and out, Satanists, in the sense that they, let everyone know that they were Satanists. They drove around in a black Jeep with a pentagram painted on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty blatant, right?
Even when I visited there, people still referred to them as devil worshippers. Though they were very fond of them. The locals actually were very fond of them. They called them devil worshippers, but they did so kind of affectionately, strangely enough. But they lived in this castle. They had like these two large mastiff dogs. I think they were. I don't remember the breed exactly.
Yes. Yep.
But there were two guys. Who were sort of criminal guys and looking for drugs and money, and thought that these guys must have a bunch of money up there, and they brutally murdered them, and then that led to this long sort of police pursuit, which I think went across several states, and before they were caught and put in prison. But then someone shortly thereafter burned that handmade castle down, but you can still go up there in the mountains and out in the woods. The ruins of the castle are still there, and it's kind of a treacherous trip to get up there, because it's this sort of narrow mountain road with really steep, precipitous drop offs. But that was a place that also I found really creepy. And especially being out in such an isolated place by yourself,
right?
It certainly adds to the effect.
Right. I looked it up as you were talking. It was December 12th, 1982. when that murder happened. Yeah.
Okay, so I was off by a decade or so.
No, still though, 40 years ago. Gosh, yeah, and it's coming up. Yeah, December 12th.
That's a wild. Those are wild stories. That's the thing is and I think I was telling you this off air, but with your stories and the way you tell stories, and you're just, and even doing it tonight, you just very are calm and collected. You're, you know, you're, you paint a good picture. Like, it's oh my gosh. And you just, it's kind of like, my grandfather used to tell ghost stories or really scary stories. And it was the same way, just like draw you in and then like,
and you boom. Can picture what they're talking about.
Exactly. You have that gift of doing that. That's why I can't even imagine how cool your ghost tours are, because it's just like, that's awesome. I could sit here and listen to ghost stories all night. That's why your podcast is really cool to listen to. I tell everybody out there, go listen to this, because these are real, especially if you love ghost stories and love interesting history and off the cuff. It's fantastic. And I know you seem to like crime. You were talking about being at a crime convention too, and some of yours have to do with crimes. I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much good.
Well,
there's so much meat
there.
One
of the things that I enjoy, and I get to do this a lot more off the podcast than I do on tour, is the I like mixing things together. I like stories that combine not just ghosts, but like you say, true crime or literature or fairy tales. I like mixing those things together. Those are some of my favorite stories.
I love all of that. That's why I was like sold when I started listening to your stuff. I was like, this is good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, your podcast, and like I said, I can listen to you talk all day long. It's like, just talk. You got the great voice, and yeah, like Sean
we're
said,
gonna
just,
when we edit this, we're going to edit all of us out of there. It's just going to be you
I
talking,
know.
Mike, so you know.
I'm going to say,
there's
and
no
here's
chat.
Mike
it's
Brown.
Just, this is Mike Brown talking.
They don't need to hear us, knuckleheads, yeah. What other episodes are your favorites, I guess? On your podcast.
Well, one of my another episode that I always liked was there's a if you go in New York City, I love the idea of something really creepy being sort of hidden in plain sight. And if you go, for example, to 129 Spring Street, there is a it's a clothing store today called COS, COS. And if you go downstairs to the men's department and you go back to where the cash register is, there's this brick column, a really thick brick column, which dates back to the 1700s. And it is actually a well from the 1700s.
Oh, wow.
And in 1799, the body of a woman named Elma Sands was found inside that well. And she had been murdered and then her body thrown into the well. And the leading suspect was her a boyfriend at the time, a guy by the name of Levi Weeks. And so he was put on trial for her murder, and it became the first big murder trial in New York City history. And Levi Weeks came, his brother was a very successful developer. And so the family had money, and so they hired a legal dream team to defend him, consisting of Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr.
That's cool.
So they were his defense attorneys.
Gosh.
And they managed to get him secure a not guilty verdict. In fact, the jury was out less than 5 minutes.
Oh wow.
Dang.
And so that's the story persuasive. Goes that as Burr and Hamilton were leaving the courthouse, that Elma Sands' landlady, who was also her cousin, was waiting on the steps, and that she put a curse on Burr and Hamilton, saying that they would never know peace until justice was served.
Wow.
And, of course, shortly, just a few years after that, Burr killed Hamilton in the famous duel.
Yeah, right.
And not before Hamilton had lost his own son in a duel. And then, of course, Burr would live a long life, but he would certainly not know much peace in it.
Yeah.
And would lose his own daughter in a mysterious, she would be lost at sea. Her name was Theodosia Burr Alston. She was actually, he married her off to the governor of South Carolina. And she was going to visit him in New York, and her ship just vanished. And there's lots of legends, but to this day, nobody knows for sure what happened to it.
So, but
all of that ties into this thing that just sort of sits there while, you know, people are shopping for clothing.
That is cool.
And they, you know, probably 99.9% of the people that see it on any given day have no clue as to the story that surrounds it.
Right. Such rich history, and I love it. that is cool. Really cool.
Wow. And where was that in again? What you said it was a clothing store. What was the name of it, Cos?
It's called COS, C-O-S. It's located at 129 Spring Street,
okay.
I believe is the address.
That is weird.
In New York City.
In New York City, yeah. Yeah, like I said, people walk by it all day long and have no idea what happened.
I could just listen to those all night, day long.
But that place is supposed to be very haunted, and supposedly there's things that happened in the clothing store. And before the clothing store, it was a restaurant called Manhattan Bistro, and there were things that happened there as well. And there was an artist that lived, I think, at one point across the street who sort of had visions of a woman, you know, kind of like, it sounds like The Ring. It's kind of like a woman in wet clothing, almost like she just crawled out of a well, and she's all drenched in water. And this artist that lived across the street sort of had these visions of this woman. She didn't know any of the history. And so she did a lot of paintings of this sort of drowned woman, and then later found out the story behind it, which is also kind of creepy.
Sure,
super creepy.
Wow.
When you were talking about New York City, I thought you were going to say that that warehouse that I think they may close. I could be wrong, Mike. Do you remember the one that it caught fire and a lot of people?
Yeah, the shirt tail.
Yes.
Factory warehouse.
Right.
Shirt tail factory fire. Excuse me. Which is. I went on a ghost tour when I was in New York City, and that was one of the places we visited.
Yeah,
that's a horrific story. It was a building that made shirt tails. I'm not exactly sure what those are. But it was mostly immigrant labor, mostly women, and they would lock them in the building during the daytime so they couldn't leave. And somebody threw a cigarette butt into, you know, they had these scraps of cloth around, and somebody threw a cigarette butt into a waste can, and there were scraps of cloth in there, and it caught fire, and the building just went up in flames. And I think the fire department managed to put the fire out within about 20 minutes, but over 100 people had died before they could get the fire out.
Yeah,
and they saved the building. And the building itself still exists and is used by NYU.
I
think they may have offices and labs and stuff in there.
Okay.
I mean, so if you can, and people will talk about in the building, whether they're students or faculty, you know, that occasionally you'll smell smoke and there's other things. So it, you know, that would be a weird place to have to go for a class, a college class.
No kidding.
Yes.
You know what happened here?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is a sad, that's a tragic that's story. Sad, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people died in that. Yeah, that's where I thought you were going to say when you mentioned New York. I'm like, like I said, Mike, I remember most all your episodes. So they're ingrained in my brain, yeah. Awesome. Well, we don't want to keep it any more of your time. We so appreciate you coming on.
Yes.
I could have you on every time we record. So. I know Nate
has to come back.
That's right. I'll speak for them. We would love for you to come back if you'll have us. Right.
Well, I haven't. If there's anyone that listens to this that happens to listen to my show, I haven't put out an episode in quite a while now. But I will be having a new episode coming out here sometime, hopefully in the next few weeks.
Awesome. So that was my question. I was going to say, Mike, when are you going to do another episode? Cause I'm dying. Every time I scroll through I have like, I don't know, 45 podcasts I listen to, and I scroll down to Pleasing Terrors. I'm like, oh man, I hope Mike comes out with something. But like I said, I listen to your episodes. I listen to them, you know, cause I'm like, you know what? I haven't heard this one in a while. So I listen to them again, but I'm just dying for another new one.
Yeah, I've been working on the current episode I've been working on for about 6 months. But
very cool.
It involved a lot of library research, particularly in sort of restricted sections of the library. And unfortunately, because of COVID, it became a very sort of slow, tedious process because you have to make an appointment and they only allow like two people in at the same time. So it you can only be in there for a certain number of hours. So it's been a kind of a drawn out process to do the research for it.
Sure.
But that's cool that you're putting that much attention and love into something that's going to make it really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sean and Nate and I, we can't say that. We don't go to the library.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Really, don't even try.
He knows better.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed to say we don't do that.
But we're going to start.
No. Yeah, now I'm like, yeah, now we have a standard. I'm like, Mike, why don't you tell the listeners how they can follow you on social media and all that good stuff, how they can contact you.
Well, just look for Pleasing Cares on either Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, or I think that's about it.
Okay.
Any of the newer social media stuff is a little bit beyond me. I think I'm too old for it at this point. But
you're a wise man.
We got on TikTok not too long ago, Mike, and I'm starting to get the hang of it. It's different. It's a lot different than Facebook and Instagram. A little bit. I don't know. I'm getting used to it.
We might be a little too old for it.
Yeah. My daughter went, she's going to be 14 next month. And when I told her, I said, hey, guess who's on TikTok? She goes, who? I said, we are. She goes, really? Like what do you, you know?
For what reason?
I know. Right? I'm like, okay, that was really encouraging. I go, because the podcast. She goes, oh, okay. Yeah, like, good luck with that. Like, yeah. She goes, what are you going to do? I go, well, I'm not getting on there and doing the dances and all. I said, we're going to, you know, promote our podcast. She's
just thinking that we suffer from OLD.
She's she's just like, please don't embarrass me. So if we're on there, I know you're not too old. So then, and obviously the Old Charleston Walking Tours is the name of your tour. So
yeah, if anybody wants to ghost tour, it's called Old Charleston Walking Tours, and it's easy enough to find.
And when do you do those? Like what time? And like, do you, you know, just,
I usually do two tours a night, one at 7:30 and one at 9:30. And I take a night off every once in a while, but I pretty much operate year round.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we put that on the list, Sean.
I was going to say, no, and I'm being dead serious. All three of us want to come. Oh, man. Whether we get there together or separately, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that far. That's, that's going to be one that we will try to get there before.
I do think that places. If I show up and say, hey, Mike, you remember me? I'm from, you know, Middle Age Creeped Out. And you'll be like, security.
Yeah.
Get this guy out of here.
No. Oh, no, not the Middle Age and Creeped Out guys.
No, not these guys.
He'll have a picture of all three of us on there and going, if you see any of these three guys.
I'll pay you guys not to come, though.
Right. Yeah, we are definitely big fans of yours, Mike. Yes. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, we just love having you on. Thank you so much. And we are going to look forward
for
to that new episode. Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming.
So, yeah.
And just, you know, like I said, we'll keep following you and promoting you. So just wish nothing but the best for you in the future.
Same to you.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike.
Great. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too, man.
Night.
Bye bye. So what do you guys think, Mr. Mike Brown?
That was
awesome.
Awesome and amazing. Yes.
Very cool. I enjoyed that. That's really cool talking with him.
Absolutely.
I said that during the guest chat, but it was like I could just listen to him all night, all day. You know, that's why I can't wait to go on a ghost tour with him. Truly.
Yeah.
I'll try not to geek out on him like during the ghost tour. Like, hey, Mike Brown, Mike. By the way, yeah, that's why I was warning.
I'll just stand real close to
him.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah. I'm like, who's
I'm like number one fan here.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Yeah, he did a great job. It was fun talking to him and all the stories he's got from his podcast and his tour. I mean,
ask him, but I'm like, oh, we're just going to wait for number two. Cause he said he would come back when that would be amazing. Honestly.
Oh yeah. Little does he know we're going to have him on next week.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So Mike, we'll set up a time next week.
No, he's one that's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. You could just sit there and let him talk. Just let him go. Tell whatever stories he's got.
He is a natural storyteller.
Yeah.
He's
a pro is what I call him.
I just had a student that got through her rotation. It's been a few weeks ago now, but she documented a certain way when we had patients that would, you ask them a question and it's really just a yes or no question, but they just kind of tell these stories. Right. And she would document, you know, patient as a storyteller. And I told her, I said, I think that's a great way instead of saying they're talkative or they're verbose or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a
storyteller.
Patient storyteller. I love that. It puts such a sweeter mark on them instead of like, this patient is super duper annoying. But there are people, and I'm not, you know, saying that Mike Brown by any way means is that way, but he's just a natural storyteller.
Is that what you're saying, Tom?
I'm not. So, Mike, just
are you talking about Mike?
I'm not talking about Mike Brown.
I will not sit here and leave.
This is going to lead to a duel, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Cross
the bloody alley.
Exactly.
In Charleston.
Into the bloody alley with you, Sean.
I like listening
to stories.
I love
storytellers, in other words.
I like listening to stories like that where whoever is, in this case, is Mike telling the story, but they just so knowledgeable and just have the facts, the dates, mm-hmm. the street names, and it's like,
oh yeah,
wow.
He was giving the addresses.
I'm horrible. I'm like, oh yeah, it happened like 1952, give or take a century. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Over there at a street corner on yeah.
Well, and that's the thing.
It's by a big rock.
He does know his stuff, but he also knows how to paint with a very... Yeah, he does. You know, there's just this ability to kind of set the scene for a person, and it's fun.
And I'm going to say, other than him doing a great job narrating and telling a story and being knowledgeable and knowing his history, the man stayed in a prison, an old city jail, by himself that's known to be
guts, right?
Intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with some negative stuff. Yeah. So he's got
our hero,
so
right?
He's yeah, exactly. Man, that was funny when he was talking about, like, you know, everybody's there, and then they started having some issues, and they're like, all right, we'll see you later.
Bye, Mike.
He's like,
see you later.
Okay. Yeah.
Pull the pin on the grenade, toss it, and shut the door. See ya.
That would be
nice knowing you.
And he heard stuff all night long.
Oh, man.
Experienced, yeah. So very cool. Very cool guest chat.
I enjoyed even though we've talked about the darkness of Ouija boards and how it's, like, something to stay away from. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed his perspective.
Well, it was the room that he didn't have no idea that existed. Mm-hmm. And he goes in there with the Ouija board. Oh, man.
Got some instructions on the Ouija board. I'm still not messing with one.
No. Yeah, right, yeah. Uh-huh. It is helpful, but probably not going to need that information.
Not going to do it. So thank you, Mike. It was great. I know our listeners will enjoy that. So
I'll be looking forward to round two.
Round two. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
So now, Mr. Sean, middle-aged moment.
It is middle-aged moment. And I actually, the funny thing is, like I tend to do, I have certain things picked out. And then as of this morning, something came to me. You know, we're talking about, like, mm-hmm. things just coming to you. And I was like, nope, this is what I'm going to use. And so the song, there was something, I kept thinking, something is on my mind. Something is on my heart. And it just felt like it fit in all this, in this information. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a band called Switchfoot. You probably have heard of them before. There are certain things that I go to listen to that can make me feel good. You guys know the Beatles. I enjoy the Beatles. But there are times I'm not in the mood for the Beatles. Other times I'll listen to Phil Collins. I like Phil Collins. I like Sting. These are
I'm never in the mood for the Beatles.
My guilty pleasures. I know. Yeah. But Switchfoot is Fitch. Switchfoot.
I throw Ozzy on and drive fast.
Oh, yeah.
Switchfoot is somebody in a, or a, I'm sorry, somebody, some, a group that I go to when I need a pick-me-up. Like when I'm really, like, life is getting tough. But, and right now, it can be that way quite often, right? So one of the songs that I go to and that I really enjoy with them is Meant to Live. So I wanted to share these lyrics, and I just thought it was a good way to kind of pick us up. And to capstone, right, this episode.
Cool.
So, fumbling his confidence and wondering why the world has passed him by, hoping that he's bet for more than arguments and failed attempts to fly. And I love this chorus. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside. Somewhere we live inside. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside. Dreaming about providence and whether mice or men have second tries. Maybe we've been living with our eyes half open. I love that lyric. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're just bent and broken. Broken. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside. Somewhere we live inside. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? Somewhere we live inside. We want more than this world's got to offer. We want more than this world has got to offer. We want more. This is the other powerful lyric that I absolutely love. I have this written by my desk, by the way. We want more than the wars of our fathers. And everything inside screams for second life. We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves? And then just goes on and on and on. So we were meant to live. We were meant to live. I love the fact that it ends on that positive note of we were
those
meant
are good lyrics.
To live. This is a Christian-based band. That's mm-hmm. another thing that mm-hmm. kudos to them, that they always have these positive sounding lyrics and things that really to lift you up out of your darkness, the darkness that's around you and your darkest moments. It makes you feel like, okay, I got a fire inside me now from listening to this, these lyrics. If you've never heard that song,
it's like a musical pep talk.
It really is.
Well, so. I think it goes hand in hand with today's society too. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody just so zombified,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. And it's like, you have so much more in you. And I mean, you got more to live for, you know, figure it out.
Absolutely.
Wake up.
Yep.
my dad's a Vietnam vet, and that's why that lyric and that song, "We want more than the wars of our fathers." My grandfather was in World War II, and they would say the same thing, like, "We want more than the wars that we were involved in. Don't go there.
Yeah, nobody wants to do it.
We fought the wars for you. Let's make this world a better place. Let's find some peaceful ways to live and exist." So I just felt very compelled. Like I said, this morning I was like,
"Yeah, that's perfect."
So I pulled that up, and it's been on my phone today. But it was just literally just this morning
I figured that out. I hadn't thought about them in a while, but yeah, I remember that.
The other one I was gonna is Dare You to Move, and it's a great one too. So go listen to that one.
Is that from Switchfoot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. And my pleasure. So coming out of the middle age moment, we always want you guys
did
to be able to
just do the Chick-fil-A. My pleasure.
I did. My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Pleasure. It's mine. We want you guys to be able to get in contact with us. We're pretty easy to access, and we have a Gmail account. It's email. People still use email, right? And it's makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Your stories, anything that merch you want to buy or to
let us know how we're doing.
Let us know how we're doing. Only good comments though would be
question,
great.
A question for us.
Questions, yes.
Yeah.
Or
input, insight, feedback,
future episode idea.
Yay! Anything. I do get some of those. I have not gotten it. We've not gotten them through email, but I have gotten those. You know, and those are, we really do appreciate those, and we are thinking about all those. So just so you know. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Instagram and Facebook, it's Middle Asian Creeped Out. And TikTok, it's Mako Podcast. That's two A's.
They'll find it.
That's how TikTok works, right?
No, it's all right.
And pick out your favorite podcast platform. There's so many out there, we couldn't even name them all, even if we tried. spend the rest of the evening doing that, right? So come out there, find us, and listen to us.
It'd be a 3-hour episode
if we listed them all.
Every platform imaginable that we're on, yeah.
Just imagine them all, and we're on most of them, if not all of them. I think it's very cool, though. We're on a ton of them.
A ton.
So there's no excuse not to find us, because we're
exactly
out there.
No excuse.
Definitely iTunes, Apple, blah, 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 and Spotify, and then countless
numbers. There's some
obvious ones, yeah.
Huge ones, audio, yeah. And then there's a
lots
billion of smaller side. Ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool that... I got those smaller ones. I don't know. I'd like to start my own.
Billion's a small
podcast
number, too.
Platform.
A billion is a small estimate, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably a trillion. So thank you, Sean.
There you go. Now you're getting there.
Nate,
no
my
problem.
Man, what do you think?
Well, there's nothing brown about this guest chat.
Oh.
So that's a wrap.
That's a fact.
It's a fact,
Mr. Brown brought it. Yeah, we want to thank Mike again for coming on our show. That was awesome. And we definitely will have him on again. So until next time, Creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Thank you for listening to episode 42, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.